Chan, I care for my mother who has severe physical and mental illnesses and cannot make medical decisions for herself. Her doctors often disagree with each other, so I must make difficult decisions in uncertainty and fear, causing her unnecessary suffering. Sometimes I contemplate her body as merely a sense object, rather than my mother, or reflect that we are all heirs to our karma, which brings some peace. But I worry that this is a wrong view, because the Buddha taught us to honor our parents. How can I care for her wholeheartedly while also maintaining a peaceful mind?
So you have this firm intent to care for your mother, for your parents. So this is paying back the goodness that they've done to us. So we strive with regard to that. And this is correct. This is having gratitude. In terms of Dhamma, contemplate to see old age, sickness, and death as normal and natural. Or seeing on an even higher level, to see it as not self, not me or mine. There's no mother there. That's seeing on a higher level. But we see that, and having seen that already, it's not that we don't feel gratitude at all. It's not like that. But if we really see anatta, if we see the not-self nature and truth, we see that there's no mother there, then, or we see this just natural elements, then the feeling of gratitude is even more than before, because we see the goodness they've done for us, caring for us since we've been in the womb, and the Father cares for us as well. So therefore, it's not wrong view. This is seeing in terms of Dhamma. But we have to care for our own minds as well, and to do that fully. So we care for our own minds, bring our minds to peacefulness and samadhi, practice chanting, sitting meditation. We train our minds, sometimes we study and learn. We also see that one who has an illness, one who's sick, is like this. They have a lot of painful sensations, a lot of dukkha vedana. So we have to be careful of our own minds as well, not to criticize them, but to have loving kindness and compassion for them, to also use wisdom as well. Sometimes the person who has illness or sick can be quite lost or confused, forgetful. So for the caretaker, for you yourself, you must have patient endurance, because the mother has already had patient endurance with regard to us already. So we have to patiently endure them too. So therefore we contemplate to see the truth in this way. And this is a Dhamma of one type. We set our hearts on this, to care for them fully, with a heart full of gratitude. And this is a great amount of merit and goodness. We can think back to a past life of our Buddha when he was a bodhisattva, caring for his mother and father who were blind. And it came to pass that the Buddha in that lifetime was poisoned by an arrow, but he didn't die. He was concerned for his mother and father. And in the end, the mother and father were able to be cured of their blindness. And the Buddha overcame that poison as well through his great merit and parami that the Buddha had cultivated to such a high degree already through many lives. And seeing that the Buddha had great gratitude towards his parents as well. So we see that this is a good opportunity to pay back the goodness that your mother and father have given to you. So may you have patient endurance, seeing that one's mother is experiencing a lot of torturous experiences, a lot of pain. So if you're able, you can ask her, can she do this? Does she accept this? And seeing that she's in so much pain, or it's so torturous for her, one endeavors not to go against her wishes.
Dear Lompa, at the retreat, it is often said that when and how one dies is not sure, but death is sure. As a growing number of countries now allow assisted dying in a medical facility so that one can choose when and how to die when one is terminally ill, may I seek Lompa's guidance on what is the Buddhist position on medical assisted dying? Yours respectfully.
So this assisted dying that's asked about here, it's one way that people try to reduce or overcome a painful experience, dukkha vedana. Sometimes an individual gets medical care, but the pain or illness doesn't go away. And then they think in the future it'll get even worse, it'll be even more torturous or painful. So there's one instance with monastics contemplating the Asubha Kamatana, the meditation object of the not beautiful, and they didn't want to live in this body anymore, seeing that the body is composed of simply things that are not attractive, that are unclean, that are revolting, just full of illness. So this is in the Buddhist teachings. But these monks were deluded, asked the monastery attendant to kill them. And a great many monks died in this way, like 10, 20, 30. And it came to the point where the Buddha forbade to behave in this way, or forbid the monks to do this. So one is sick, and sometimes people wish for death in that instance. Some individuals choose to not eat, not eating, and they practice and train their mind to be as high as possible. It's contemplating that death is death, they accept death, but they don't have any effort to harm or destroy the body, no intention to die, but they don't eat food. And they are fighting, meditating, practicing and training, having mindfulness. So this is correct. And so we see that people wish for death in this way, running away from the painful feelings. But there's still this craving for existence, craving to become in the mind. But the mind doesn't want to meet with this painful feeling, the dukkha vedana. The mind just wants pleasant experience, just wants happiness. It doesn't want pain. And so it's an important point to see that destroying oneself, destroying others, is not correct. So sometimes there's a case with a mother or father, and the doctor says that they're nearing the end of their life, and the children are fighting about what's the best thing to do. They want to do the best option. And some individuals might think, oh, they want to pull out the oxygen tube so that the mother or father can die well, because their body's not aware of anything anyway, and so the children fight amongst each other like that. So it's one thing if an individual isn't taking in food or oxygen is insufficient and the breath naturally degrades and then the death is natural, which happens at some point. But to stop the breathing or to have the intention to die or the intention to end the life, and this is something that should not be done, the intention to kill, something that should not be done, or it's wrong in the Buddha sasana, in the Buddha's teachings, it shouldn't be done. Because in Buddhism, there's the belief in karma, the law of karma. So one does this, and then some people have the belief that there's no next life. They think, oh, having died, the body's died, then that's it, there's nothing else. But one, in that case, is not looking at the mind. One needs to look at the mind, the citta, seeing that the citta, the mind, is born anew. It cycles again through the cycle of birth and death, through samsara. So the sankharas might die and pass away, but the mind is born again. So we have to take a look and see what is the mind like before bodily death. What is the mind like before it's born again? So death is sure, but before death, what is the mind like? Does it have mindfulness in order to go with mindfulness into the cycle of renewed becoming again? So the mind needs to fight with the pain with mindfulness and wisdom, and fighting with the pain like this, sometimes the doctor can have some kind of medicine to reduce the pain, to reduce the painful feeling that's experienced. So there's one example of someone with cancer of the fourth stage, and they were given chemotherapy, radiation therapy for a stomach cancer. And the And in the end, they were able to just let go of the body in a natural way, and just end, and their body died naturally. But they were endeavoring to have mindfulness and wisdom, and so they died with mindfulness and wisdom to a good level, and they died with clarity. So we have to take a look at what is the state of the mind, what's the quality of the mind before it dies. Because in this case, the person's sankharas, conditioned formations, were in darkness or in pain, but their mind was in a good state. So we need to prepare the mind for death. So if the mind's in a dark state and one takes this assisted dying, then one, the mind goes to a bad state. So we see it's up to the mind, and that's an important point. So in Buddhism, it's suggested not to do this, but to have mindfulness, to have clear awareness, sati and sampajanya, to let go of all worries and to bring the mind to think about goodness and merit, for the mind to only think about goodness and merit, so to train the mind in mental cultivation and the meditation object. Or at home, we train the mind to, we train the mind for death. So before we lie down, before we go to sleep, we think that, oh, we might not wake up, we might die. It's not sure that we'll wake up. So therefore we contemplate, we meditate. So before sleep, before going to sleep, and upon waking, we try to have mindfulness, mindfully going to sleep, mindfully waking up, in this way having continuous mindfulness. So this is the way of a Dhamma practitioner. So there's one case of someone at a branch of Wat Nong Pupong, a branch of Wat Mak Chan, also with fourth stage cancer. And they wanted to end their own life. They thought it'd be easier to kill themselves. But they knew about merit and demerit. They knew that this would not be good. So they didn't do it. And for 6 months, they were still alive. And they meditated and brought the mind to stillness. Their mind was very still, they weren't speaking, their mind became bright and joyful in samadhi. And then when they did die, then they entered the dreams of their husband and their children, and they told their children, husband, not to worry about them. Then this individual came, after death, they came to listen to the Dhamma talks of Lumbur Nun, and people could see them with a crystalline body or crystal-like body. And during the chanting of the funeral chants, the traditional Abhidhamma funeral chants, she was sitting there listening. So this is merit and goodness. She was having this firm intent. So even though during life it was painful and dark, after death, it was light and radiant. So she had this belief in karma and placed importance on practice and meditation. So if we don't believe in karma, thinking that there's nothing after death, then that's not what the Buddhists believe, or that's not what the Buddha taught. But having died, then one is reborn. So therefore we train the mind not to go to a bad state. But having died, one goes to a good state. And so one recollects one's merit a lot and meditates a lot. So may you grow in blessings.